Well, good evening. As always, it is great to worship with the saints and to remember the faithfulness of our God. Amen. He is faithful, and all of his promises, we're constantly called to look forward to his promises. On Wednesday night, we've been walking through a bit of a theology study on heaven. And I certainly pray that that has been refreshment for your soul. I know it has been for me in preparation of it and in the ability to deliver it. I find that that the topic and the promises of God and moving towards heaven is much more readily on my mind. And I think that is good because the scripture is constantly pleading us, right? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, okay? And so if you will recall last week, I began a discussion, kind of blew our minds about the extent of the fall and therefore the extent of the resurrection, okay? That was the point last week because we looked at a couple scripture passages that talk about not only do we know that our bodies are fallen, okay, but scripture teaches that the whole earth is fallen and it groans in longing for Jesus to return and to make all things new. This is the resurrection. This is our hope. So that nature itself, like when we look at tornadoes and hurricanes and those type things, nature is groaning, waiting for the resurrection. But the extent of that, as I also showed you scripture passages, particularly in Colossians, that talk about the entire universe and heaven itself that has been affected by the fall. And then we just looked at how wide and how big and how awesome and billions of light years wide that we're just now able to see. And then to think that the entire cosmos, all of the universe, all that God has created is waiting for redemption, for the resurrection, that in some way all of it is going to be made new. Okay? Now, building on that idea, I want us to begin to anticipate the resurrection. So this mini sermon is titled Anticipating the Resurrection. And we will begin to build and move towards thinking and anticipating the resurrection. First of all, the reality of the resurrection. The reality of it. Okay? That is, that historically, through years, there have been false doctrines that have crept up in the church or outside things that we would call heresy. One of which is that the resurrection is a spiritual or mystical interpretation. Okay, that the resurrection, maybe it's already happened. There are those that believe in some way that, you know, it really doesn't matter that Jesus got out of the grave on Easter. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't, because Jesus' spirit and what he taught, that lives on, and that's the resurrection. To which we would say, baloney. Baloney. It's not a spiritual or mystical interpretation or the resurrection. Or others, you can read in 1 Corinthians that it was wrestling within the church. People were saying, well, it's probably not going to happen at all. To which Paul responds and says, listen, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then everything that we believe falls apart. You understand that, right? Everything falls apart. And in fact, we ought to be pitied most of all because we are either dead in our sins or it's all a big fat lie. Okay? And we're wasting our time. The resurrection is the cornerstone of Christianity. Okay? And Jesus' resurrection, we look forward to our resurrection because just as Jesus was resurrected, so we too will be resurrected. Okay? The reality of it. It is a real thing. And then we'll take one tiny step forward off that, and that is you will be resurrected in a physical body. Did you know 2/3 of Americans do not believe that we will have physical bodies after the resurrection? This is completely wrong, bad theology. And it's rooted in this idea that you and I are, that we are just spirits, even like neutral spirits without genders, and we can inhabit whatever body we want, but that's not really us. The body is not really us, but like the real self is our soul or our spirit, and the body is just kind of like the fake stuff. All right? There are heresies, particularly early on in the Christian church, where they were like, that is absolutely false. That is some Gnostic, like pagan stuff. The biblical idea is that your spirit and your body are united. That is what it means to be alive. Okay? Our total being is your soul and spirit. We're not going to get into whether you're two parts or three parts tonight, right? We'll just split the church on that. All right? Is that your soul and spirit and your body, that is your total being. Okay? And that you will have a physical resurrection, a physical body in the end. Another step forward. Continuity is critical. Resurrection, by definition, means continuity. What do I mean by this? Jesus died, and that same body got up 3 days later, on the third day, right? If that's not what occurred, then resurrection loses all of its meaning. Resurrection means something else. But that is what resurrection means, okay? Jesus said, destroy this temple, and I will raise it up again in 3 days. Okay, after he appeared to his disciples, what did he say? He said, it is I, meaning, hey, it's me, it's myself, this is me. So there is continuity. Why is this so incredibly important? Guys, because there's continuity with us. This is what resurrection means. There's continuity with us. Now we're going to explore and we're going to talk about how we are made new and it's magnificent and the scripture says it's greater than what you could ever imagine. Okay? Your mind cannot comprehend what is there and what is waiting for you. But that said, it's transforming, it's transformation of that which already is. Okay? So when you got saved, the Bible says you became a new creation. But you were still the same person. You were just being made new. You were renewed. You were transformed. Okay? You started here and there was progress that moved forward. You are a new creation. Okay? So this transforming is the way that the scripture speaks in terms of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 50. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will all be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. Okay? You see the continuity that must be there? It must be a transformation. Now, it's going to be magnificent. It's going to be grander than what you could ever imagine. But our purpose for this evening is that there must be continuity. And by the way, the same is going to go for the new earth as it is made new. Okay? There must be continuity. So the point I am making is this. I am 5'8". I am a Caucasian male. I have this particular build. This body will be raised to new life. Amen. This is what resurrection means. So it's not like when we get to heaven, I get to go, I would really like to be 6'6". Could you see how I'd look if I was Asian? Like, you will be you. You will be you. Let me say that again. You will be you. Now, I know that that scares us. Because we spend so much of our lives picking ourselves apart and wishing that we were someone else. But don't you see, that's the problem, not actually who you are. Do you remember when Adam and Eve, when they were naked and they were unashamed, and then when they fell, they became aware of their nakedness? Okay, what the scripture is picturing and portraying to us is this shame that has come over every one of us in terms of our identity and who we are and our longing to hide, saying, I don't like the fact that my nose is so pointy. It bothers me. So when I get to heaven, I think I'd really like to pick out my own nose. But you must understand, when Jesus fixes our sin nature, you will no longer cut yourself to pieces over comparison. You will be comfortable in your own skin and love who God has made you to be. Don't you see how magnificent that is going to be? Like, you will be you. You will still like what you like. You will be you. But you'll be fixed. And you won't be driven by all the comparison and all the constant, like, not measuring up. You'll be able to see yourself the way that God sees you. And that changes everything. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, God, help us to think about the resurrection and these realities and where we are going and what you have promised us. And that is resurrection, life from the dead. And even as we think about this simple but profound truth about continuity, Father, help us to trust your word and to trust in who you have made us to be, and to just be settled in that. And as Christians, that we would grow more and more comfortable in that, because we know that the world is constantly tearing and pulling at us for 100 million different reasons. But God, you have made each of us in your image. And I certainly know there is going to come a time when we will utterly delight in that. And I thank you for that, even if I wrestle and I struggle with it now, that there is coming a time when I will see everything as you see it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.